Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, our weekly spin-off podcast designed specifically to help keep you company and keep you sane during lockdown. I'm Paul Verhoeven. That's my dad, John Verhoeven. Dad, how are you doing this morning?
Paul, you and the listeners will be very, very excited to know that I'm fucking great.
Awesome.
Like, actually pumped and ready to do whatever we do on Fridays. And I love Fridays. Paul, you know... Life's a funny thing. I happen to really dig a guy called Merrick Watts. Like, I actually think he's really cool.
Oh, bless you. Yeah.
And he's been on this show.
Oh, Dish, you mean. Yes. Look, if you're trying to tell me that you listened to the latest episode of Dish and really enjoyed it, that's very sweet of you.
I did. But he in your show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it away.
Mm.
Just get over there and listen. Mm. But he thinks he's a bit of a... bit of an adventurous type, high adrenaline man.
Yeah, well, he was on this show called... So Merrick has been in radio and comedy for years and years and years, and I'm sure everyone knows him, but he was on SAS Australia last year, which was this kind of frightening show. I want to talk to you about this, Dad. So the basic premise is a bunch of ex-SAS operatives, right, get a bunch of normal people. Typically, it's just normal people, but this time it's, you know, Australian celebrities. And they get them to do, I think, like a condensed two-week SAS course where they basically almost kill them. I mean, it's just horrifying. It's sub-zero temperatures, psychological damage, you know, like feats of physical... I mean, Merrick, they take months and months and months to actually recover physically and mentally from this thing. And you basically get forced to wash out if you're having a hard day. And I think... at the end of last season, Merrick was one of the three people who actually, you don't really win. You just kind of make it through basic training. And that's the goal. And what's really interesting, Dad, is during lockdown, a lot of people have kind of pursued, you know, home fitness and stuff, right? And they've gone through like a cooking renaissance like you have, or they do some self-improvement. Merrick has kept up his SAS training. So he popped onto Dish and talked to us about that. But also, and I think this is pertinent to your interests, and might be part of the reason why you like the episode, Merrick... he's almost a sommelier, like he's a wine expert. And so he's been pairing wine with barbecue. So he's built these barbecue pits and he's been kind of pairing wine with food really interestingly. So he talked to us about, you know, the physical and psychological torture of going on SAS. He shared some of his secrets about the show. And then he just talked about food and wine for ages. It was a really great episode. So, I mean, what would you say to people who listen to Loose Units who haven't listened to Dish yet?
I would say what I always say, which is broaden your horizons. I know that that I was on that show, and I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. In fact, I would like to be the first guest ever on your show.
Yep.
To be interviewed twice.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal, and this is for the listeners as well. We will get Dad back as our first recurring guest if everyone who listens to Loose Units goes across and subscribes to Dish right now. I mean, just like while you're listening to this show, go across to Apple Podcast or Spotify, look up Dish and subscribe. That's all you got to do. Because if we get everyone who... because we know how many people listen to this show. If you all go across and listen to Dish and subscribe to Dish, then not only will we get Dad on for a recurring episode, but you'll be the first ones to hear it again. Because you guys heard it like 3 weeks ahead of anyone else. So seriously, that's your homework, okay? We don't ask you to do much, but we would really appreciate that. So make sure you get across to Dish.
And there's nothing wrong with sort of cross-pollination, Paul, in that Tegan, you and me, we're family.
Absolutely.
And yes. I regard our listeners as our extended family, but not in a sort of way where when I die, you all come in and get my booty.
Well, they can if they want, but yeah. Mm.
Not to be confused with the American booty, which is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's big.
So what are you saying about these people?
I'm saying I love everyone and I'd really like them because it's I have found it quite enriching listening to the different guests. The concept's really good. Yeah, I think it's good. And I think the cooking thing is a real positive, particularly in this climate. You know how I do my signature dishes, which is a bit weird. Someone at work, at Christine's work yesterday, said, I really love John's signature dishes, but he's never ever actually photographed what they turn into.
The finished product, yes, that is very true. I think
which I always forget to do.
Yeah, well, sure, because you're too busy eating. Hey, listen, if people are curious as to what dish sounds like when it's... Actually, you know what? Here's a treat. I will play you all right now a short clip of Merrick, Tegan, and I talking on dish. How about that?
You're an ideas person, Paul.
I thrive in high-pressure environments. Like, I don't like them. It's really weird. This is the strange part. I don't like them. I really like drinking on beaches. I like being... I love nothing more than some satay sticks and a swim-up bar with some bintang. Right? That's me. But the fact of the matter is that my brain and my composition requires high-end, high-pressure environments that I can thrive in.
Actually, there's something else I wanted to play for you from the episode as well. And, Dad, this is very pertinent to you, so let's have a listen.
Have you looked through the cast for the second season and made your predictions? You'd have an idea of who's going to last and who's going to fall out early.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I mean, I could look at that list and tell you who the top four would be. But I think that depending on how far people will go, there's certain character traits are most important. It's not necessarily about how fit you are or how strong you are. It's to get through something like that, it comes down to how much you can endure physically and mentally.
Okay, so based on that, Dad, I strongly suspect that you would be in the running to make it on SAS. Do you think you could do 2 weeks of intense SAS training?
Paul, I not only think it, I know it.
Okay.
And how do I arrive at that conclusion, Paul?
That's a very good question. I mean, I know that listeners are probably sitting here going, look, we know that John talks up his accomplishments a bit, but we also know what he's accomplished. And by that metric, he could totally do it. I mean, why do you think you could do it?
Paul, I don't think I could do it.
You know you could do it.
Exactly. It's a circular conversation. We keep coming back to the fact that I don't think I know. That's a big part. Now, when I was in Armidale as a young boy, my best friend went on to become an instructor with the SAS in Western Australia.
Hang on. Are you serious?
Now, I was going to say, I'll bet you my left testicle, but because I don't have a copious quantity of balls, and I've always, like, I've bet so many of my testicles in previous episodes that I actually have no more testicles.
You're in the minus at this point, yeah.
Yes, but if I could borrow someone's balls, yep, I'd bet one of them.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure our listeners are, you know, they're generous and sitting in testicles.
But he was my best friend.
Right.
And I know the listeners know this, Paul, but it's just sort of kind of not weird, but we used to sneak into his mum's kind of medical library. I've mentioned this to you before. So
yes, you have,
and
yes,
we used to look at all those great photos of things sticking out of people's butts.
But he's ended up as
an instructor.
Yes.
With, I mean, think about being an instructor. I mean, these guys, they're just pretty special people. Okay. So yesterday morning while I was running on Bondi Beach, now bearing in mind, listeners, there's a 7 meter swell off Sydney. That's a big swell. I was literally running at 45 degrees into the wind. There were four people in total running on Bondi Beach yesterday morning. It was full on, and the ocean was incredibly dangerous.
Okay.
I had just listened to your podcast with Merrick, and I was thinking, because I always think a lot of weird sort of thoughts that keep me going through the run, because the first thing I do when I rocked up at Bondi was when I went to open the car door of my ute, the door almost blew off the car.
Right. Okay.
That's an indicator. And I go down into this maelstrom. It was about 10 on the Beaufort scale. The sea was literally a maelstrom of foam. Okay?
Yeah.
And while I'm running, I'm thinking about Merrick. And I'm thinking about him being interviewed by Ewan Teagan. And I'm thinking about this whole SAS thing as to whether or not I could do it. And then I began to think about some of the crazy, insane things that I've done in my life. Like really, really dangerous and foolhardy. Mm-hmm. To give you an example, I used to dive, scuba dive in Sydney at night time with no gauges and get ready for this, by myself. And sometimes I would sink to the bottom of Sydney Harbour and I would turn my flashlight off and I would lie on the bottom and I used to feel so good, so chilled, so relaxed, so calm. And I was thinking about the SAS training, and I know some of the things that they do. Some of them are fairly controversial.
Like what?
Well, burying someone alive. They certainly didn't do that in the series.
Yes.
They do some pretty heavy, heavy stuff.
Yes, they do.
Really heavy. You must be relatively fit to go through this arduous campaign. But I think that the part of your persona that has to be the toughest is your mind. Because if they break you, you're out.
That's exactly what Merrick says. Basically, he said that you've got people who are physically strong, but then they can't hack it upstairs and then they bail. You know, he was saying he was up against people who, you know, were punching him in the face and having no problems, but then something got in their heads. And there was actually one part of the episode, Dad, where they would they'd wait until you were really exhausted and then bring out photos and footage of your family or friends or loved ones kind of telling you that they're there for you. And apparently it broke some people, but for Merrick, it gave him the juice he needed. Basically, it gave him, you know, this kind of supercharge of like, oh, this is who I'm here for. Whereas if you're already on the fence and you see these people going, hey, Daddy, we miss you, then you fucking crumble, right? I mean, I don't think you'd have that problem. You are quite pragmatic in that respect.
Mm. Well, Paul, you know, if you've been deprived of sleep,
yeah,
you become vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely. I know that. But the thing is, you keep... I mean, how many hours a night do you sleep at the moment?
I sleep 9 hours every night.
Really?
Yeah, your voice just went up 2 octaves, Paul.
Yeah, because I sleep about six and a half.
Not enough. Not enough, mate.
Yeah, but by that... But, like, if you got woken up at 3 a.m., by a drill sergeant and made to do 3 hours of burpees.
Paul, like, you are so, so, so sweet. What do you think 10 years in the New South Wales Fire Brigade's involved?
Watching videos and doing cook-ups and putting out one fire every 6 months.
Paul, that cut deep.
Was it true?
Well... Paul.
I've seen that. I've seen the average physique of the 1990 era fireman.
Let's don't upset the fireys out there.
No, I'm not. No, no, I'm not. No, please, I'm not saying now, because right now firefighters all look like they belong in sexy firefighter calendars. Hmm. Right?
But Paul, the alarm, the bells would go off at all hours of the morning.
Uh huh.
And you'd get up and you had to go and perform. You had to go hard and go fast.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
So that thing, but I understand what you're saying about being woken up at 3 a.m. I mean, no one likes to get up at 3 a.m.
But do you think you could do it? Do you think you'd be okay?
100%.
Okay. Because look, it's not that I don't think you could. I'm sitting here going, ah, shit, maybe we actually need to try and get you on SAS Australia.
Mm. Yeah. They might have a sort of problem with my age. They shouldn't. But
okay. There are earlier seasons of the show, right? That seem far more sedate when they've got normal people. I feel like they've kind of ramped up the danger a bit. I'm pretty convinced you could survive one of the earlier seasons. If you go back and watch some of the, you know, the older seasons on, I don't know what streaming service it's on, I'm sorry, I think it might be Seven Mate or something. Then, and by the way, if you haven't seen Merrick's season, we highly recommend it. It's incredible stuff. But what you should be doing basically is going across and watching the early seasons and seeing whether you think you could make it, because it looks like it's just a shitload of hiking. There's one challenge where they try and basically break you, where the whole thing is to get information out of you, right?
Hmm.
Now, That one I have a problem with because it's sleep deprivation. They have headphones in with like screaming and animal noises. They put you in a stress position where they make sure that you can't actually, you know. And I couldn't do that stuff. But how would you do under psychological pressure with that kind of, you know, stuff going on?
Like in the famous book by George Orwell, 1984, where the protagonist. Oh fuck! What the fuck's the word? Just cut all this out. Anyway, the guy that the story's about.
Hang on, sorry. Wait. You want me to cut that out?
Yeah.
You don't want me to paste a clip of you saying
protagonist. Paul, come on, mate. Protagonist. Protagonist. So, anyway, that's thrown me that word. I know the word, but I just can't.
Protagonist.
That's it. So what was the guy's name, the sort of the hero? Protagonist?
I don't know. He was played by John Hurt in the movie, but yes.
But, you know, the thing is that he escaped to his mind. Mm. That's where I think I'd go to.
Are you thinking Brazil does that as well, doesn't it?
They do. That was, God, that's heavy. Fuck that but the thing is, that's the objective of a torturer, is to unleash that the deepest part where you can sort of retreat to. And look, I do know that they do some pretty weird stuff. And when you spoke about them using photographs of your family, you know, that's a technique. And
but you wouldn't get, I mean, if you saw a photo of me or Mum or Mark or Anne or whoever, you wouldn't, you know, or Tegan or Plath, you wouldn't, I don't think you'd cave, right? You would probably go, well, I'm doing it for them. That's my assumption. Right?
I agree with you, but what happens if the photo was used in another way to make you feel jealous?
Like they photoshopped, you know, like
someone in a sort of situation that these people that figure out how to break people. I mean, it's not a game. Because it's used by the military forces all over the world.
Well, the point is to basically see if the person has what it takes to avoid from giving away information under pressure. So if you get captured on a mission, right, they want to make sure that you have the psychological makeup to withstand torture, basically, right?
Yep.
Now, I mean, the thing is, you've never withstood torture, but you got tear gassed at one point, didn't you?
I did, and that was pretty terrible. That was out at Parramatta Jail.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you become very vulnerable. You know, let's work on the basic things about human nature and you know, the ways to get at people. And, you know, one of them is fear, is to scare people and then to threaten them and to deprive them of all the good things. And that's why I think during this time of this fucking COVID, I find I'm continually rationalizing and compartmentalizing and saying to myself, you know, how fortunate I am. And I was watching, you know, the people in trying to get into the airport in Kabul last night, and it was just, it's, and then I woke up this morning actually thinking about those people again, and I thought, hang on a sec, like, you know, when you sort of, the astronaut pulls away from the Earth and they see this little bluey-green ball floating in this universe. And then, and to think that there's so much stuff happening on our planet and there are so many things that we just, look, we're very blessed. So I kind of, you know, there are various schools of thought about should one use that mechanism to say, oh, but at least such and such isn't happening to me.
Oh, right, do that kind of comparative thing. No, I think it is completely fair to go, the problems I'm having right now are affecting me in a certain way. But at the same time, just giving, I mean, the thing is, I use that perspective to try and comfort myself, you know, and give myself a little perspective. I don't use it to diminish the suffering of others.
No. And I do have empathy, Paul. And, you know, people must be getting slightly sort of sick and tired of hearing what happens in our little cul-de-sac. I mean, it seems to be just a flurry of varied activity. And 2 days ago, I left our place and there was a police car parked out on the sort of the main street.
Yeah.
And it was there when I came back, which was about an hour later,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird. And I looked down into our sort of cul-de-sac, and there was a white ute parked. There were two police officers with, I guess I'd call this guy a tradie in his early to mid-20s,
mm-hmm.
and he was sort of looking rather forlorn and dejected, and he was sitting in the gutter, and he had his sort of propping up his head, and he, you know, he just looked kind of a bit sad. And I walked past the two police officers. Now, these police officers were general duties police, and they were relatively young.
Yeah.
And they had done something that brought back memories and will probably bring back memories to you and the listeners. And what it is that they'd pulled this guy over who, for argument's sake, I think he was an electrician in all his work gear. So he'd obviously been working that day. And these police, you know, they'd been with this guy for so long, and they were filling out this incredibly complex sort of large format sort of paperwork from this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to realize, at first I thought, he's out of area. He's come from one of the red zones in Sydney, of which I think we've got 12, and these people can't leave those areas unless they get permits. And I'm thinking, God, this, because I have never seen this amount of paperwork, and I've never seen something take so long.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I came inside from our kitchen window, which I'm looking out now. I could see this whole thing still unfolding. It must have taken 2 hours. I thought, what on earth is going on here? And eventually, the police left. And this guy, I could see him, he's sitting in the gutter. He must have been sitting in the gutter for at least 2 hours. And I said to Christine, I said, look, do you think I should go over and have a chat with him and see if he'd like something to eat or something to drink? Because he's sitting there with this vehicle. The police have gone. And a part of me also wanted to find out what on earth had sort of taken place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just had this desire to at least offer him some sort of comfort. I know it sounds bizarre. And then I'm thinking also, a part of my brain's also thinking, I'm a strange guy. I don't mean strange as in odd. I mean, he doesn't know me. I'm going to walk over to this guy in his early 20s and say, how are you going? Would you like something to eat or drink? I've seen you sitting here for some time. And then a part of me was thinking, is he going to sort of go, who are you?
Yeah.
But I thought, nah, bugger it. So I walked over, and as I'm getting close to the car, I saw the infamous red label on his windscreen. You recall the red label? The defect notice. Remember that
time? Oh, God. Yes, yes. So when you and...
Mr. You-Know-Who.
When you and Dunn stopped that guy on the side of the road and basically he put a not fit for whatever sticker on so that legally you couldn't drive it.
Correct. Had to be towed.
So that's the same sticker on this guy.
Same sticker.
Right.
And I've walked up to this guy and I said, the red defect label.
Mm.
And he looked up and he said, yeah. I said, what was the problem? And he said, two bald tires. And it was about to rain. Mm. So I also thought, shit, should I go and get him an umbrella? Which is kind of weird as well.
Mm.
And so I said, you know, I managed to explain to him about, you know, that I'd been in the police force. I wanted to say that so he'd feel that I wasn't some fucking creepy neighbor, just, you know what I mean. I've got a very fertile imagination and I'm always thinking about how things will be perceived. And I you're not going to believe this, Paul, or probably you are, but in amongst all this, I managed to get in all the information about our true crime podcast.
Oh, my God. You plugged the poor guy.
I did, yeah.
Oh, well, Dad.
Paul, when you say I plugged him, I didn't plug him. I plugged the podcast. And he's just having a pretty trippy day. This guy appears out of nowhere, starts crapping on about... But, you know, I do that every day with everyone I meet.
Yeah, I know.
And he explained to me that it was his boss's car, and which is kind of cool in a way, in that it made me feel a little bit better for him because the boss had to organise the tow. And
okay, so it wasn't like, okay, so the boss, if it's the boss's car, it's the boss's fault, right?
Correct, 100%.
Okay, okay.
So I kind of felt pretty good for this young guy, and I explained to him, I told him, look, I know all about the red label, and you know he was being very compliant, and then eventually the tow truck rocked up. So... yeah, I just thought, you know, when you see someone that sort of looks a bit sort of dejected, it's I think there's no harm in, you know, at least offering to sort of, you know, comfort them in some small way.
I'm really glad that you went over. I think it's really nice. Because if he's having a shitty morning, it's just, I mean, that's a really nice thing to do. But also, I'm not surprised that you plugged the podcast to the grieving man, but I'm also, you know, I'm not surprised.
Mm.
John, are you there?
Yes.
Paul's got the shits.
Why?
I don't know.
You mean diarrhea? Tegan, we're recording.
I know. And when he listens back, he's going to hear this.
Oh, fuck. Poor boy. So do I pretend that I didn't know?
All right, yeah, do that, because then he'll hear this when he comes back to edit it.
Oh, fuck. So... D for diarrhea, I for indigo, A for arsehole, R for Randy, H for hairy. I'm just trying to use all the letters of the word diarrhea, putting it into a jingle. Maybe we could do an ad for something or other. Interesting.
Sorry, Dad.
It's okay.
Okay.
Paul.
Yeah.
Like I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't want to give anything away.
That's true. We've got to keep things very vague. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'll just share something with you.
Okay.
And when I say you, that obviously means our... hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Yeah, the collective you. Yeah.
Mm. So, I am... What happened was... Why are you laughing, Paul?
So, I am...
Paul, are you mocking me?
A little bit, sorry. Mm. Love you. All right, come on.
So, Christine...
Go on. So,
Christine, who is very, very, should we say, stable.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And very deliberate in her, she chooses her words wisely.
And she's not prone to exaggeration at all.
What does that mean, Paul?
I mean, she's not prone to it.
Are you saying that I am?
Well, yes, but I was actually trying to just back up what kind of a person she is, you know.
And she's a a thoughtful, considerate person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I sort of babble on, not as in Babylon, the ancient place, that was pretty cool, that play on a word, wasn't it?
Sure.
As opposed to babble on.
Good God, start the story.
Paul, this is part of the... This is how I... you know what I'm like. We're halfway down the rabbit hole. Yeah, what's up, Doc?
Oh, God. What the fuck is going on? Tell me the story.
Well, so...
Oh, my God. Are you having a stroke?
No,
Paul.
Do you
have a story? Please...
No, but I'm trying to sort of frame it. Because it's so fucking weird and unbelievable.
All right.
So... This is a classic example of Christine. She's so laissez-faire and casual and sort of nonchalant and almost dismissive of something that happened to her yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she says to me this morning, there's something I forgot to tell you. Something happened at work yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what she's going to say at this juncture, as I imagine, nor do the listeners.
Yeah.
And nor do you. So... she is working in a place in the city for a very large organization. I'm not going to give it away. I can't. But let's just say it's sort of Lego medical sort of stuff. Now, on her floor, there are generally 500 people.
Okay.
Does that tell you that it's a bloody big floor?
Yeah, it's a lot of people. Yeah.
Or it could be just a tiny floor where everyone's sort of really tightly squeezed together, but that's not the case. It's actually a very, very big floor. Mm-hmm. I've been there, and there's a fair bit of space between all the people. I'm just trying to create this sense of enormity. So she comes to work. In fact, I drove her to work yesterday because the weather was rat shit in Sydney, like cyclonic. It was like, even some of the big buildings, I think, were rocking. It was ridiculous. Microscopic level, they probably were moving because I think they're designed to.
Okay.
So, Paul, I admire you listening to me tell a story.
Even you apologizing for going off topic is you going off topic. You'll literally finally get back on track and then do an aside about how you could apologize and then do an aside within the aside. It's like fucking Inception sometimes.
Hey, do you think that if I was with the top SAS guys, do you think I'd grind them down?
Yeah, you'd fucking ruin them. You'd be in the mirror room and they'd be like, get me the fuck out of here. Okay, this guy won't stop talking. Oh, God.
Yes, I think you're right. So, yeah. In fact, they might recruit me.
SAS, more like DAD.
Anyway, right. Paul, Christine walks in. Now, the air conditioning in this building, because there's absolutely not one human being on the floor.
Okay.
And it's very, very... the air conditioning's literally wound down to nothing.
Yep.
She comes in.
Mm-hmm.
She sits at her desk.
Yeah.
She's sitting there for about 10 minutes. She distinctly hears from very close by the ruffling of papers. And it's very, very distinct. It's loud. It's continuous. The automatic assumption... because occasionally they do have up to maybe 3 people on this entire floor during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Christine actually sits up and she basically raises her voice slightly to talk to this, to engage this person that she knows is at another desk. But they're all sort of they've sort of got these privacy screens around them.
Yeah, like bullpens. Yeah.
Correct. So, and Christine's talking to this person and there's no acknowledgement. There's nothing at all from this person. There's someone clearly at a desk working beyond a reasonable doubt. And remember, everyone, this is Christine talking, not me. So it's fucking rigidige.
Mm-hmm.
And she's listening, and you don't imagine stuff like that. We all know, like if you hear someone washing up or you hear someone, you know, mashing potatoes or reading a book and turning the pages or opening a fridge, we all know. Did you just hear that burp?
No.
Sorry, I burped. We all know what these sounds are. So after there was no response, Christine gets up, She walks over to where the noise was coming from. There's no one there. No one at all. But as Christine approached this particular vicinity of her office, she experienced intense cold. Like really, like being in a freezer in this very, very specific area.
Mm-hmm.
She felt very, very unnerved, agitated. She went back to her desk and it really, really affected her. And she heard the same noises repeat themselves a few times. And then she got a phone call from one of her colleagues, and Christine was a very private person and obviously didn't want to appear to be a loony tuner or a whack job.
Yeah.
She decided to tell this particular member of staff what had happened. The member of staff said, because Christine described where the noise was coming from, and then even I at this juncture, well, this particular person said to Christine, that's where such and such worked for many, many years. It was a dear friend of everyone, and she died a few weeks ago. And I then remember that they did a virtual, Christine actually watched from our lounge room live, and she said it was, I couldn't handle it. And I didn't even know the lady. I had to go out because I just cannot hack stuff like that. And sweet Christine sat there and watched the funeral live and listened to the children give the most beautiful eulogies to this amazing woman that Christine had worked with. And the noise was coming from her desk. And this woman had passed away from a rapid onset illness. And this only happened a few weeks ago, Paul. And then this sweet, beautiful, lovely colleague of Christine's, she said to Christine, and I think this is so beautiful, she said, Christine, I know this is going to sound odd, but what you should do is go and make a cup of tea for the lady, and I want you to place it on her desk. And a lot of people wouldn't do that. Yeah. They'd think, hang on a sec, that's just completely just weird.
Yeah.
But Christine, who is 100%, well, sane, she went into the tea room, bearing in mind, Paul and listeners, there's no one else on the floor, just Christine. She's the mm-hmm. only person on the floor. Christine goes into the kitchen, she bakes this really nice cup of tea, and she takes it over, and she left it on this desk where the lady who had passed away some weeks ago used to sit. And Christine went back to her desk and there were no more noises. And then later on that day, Christine went over to the desk. I know what the listeners are thinking, the tea was gone. No, but Christine then got the cup of cold tea and she yep. then took it into the kitchen and got rid of it. And that is a story, Paul, that is 100% factual and fucking creepy.
That's crazy. And, yeah. you know, also really kind of nice,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. And I think it has more gravitas, not more, but just the fact that it comes from, you know, Christine. And I asked Christine this morning, I said, do you mind if I tell the story? Because I think it's worthy of our podcast.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really glad you told it. Mm. And thanks to Mum for being so kind of wonderful and strange in that respect. She always did. Stuff like this always happens to Mum. Well, look, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Loose Ends. The takeaways here are go and subscribe to Dish if you want to hear Dad as a recurring guest. Okay, we're watching the numbers. I know which of you have done it and which ones haven't. And yeah, if you have any ghost stories, hook us up. Go to facebook.com/looseunits. Nothing is too weird. We want ghost stories. We want it real bad. So that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for listening. Dad, I can't wait to see you again soon. We'll be back first thing next week for more Loose Units. But in the meantime, have a great weekend and we'll see you later. Bye.
Cheerio.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.